Saturday, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards, and me, Dr. Tim Slacker. We're here, you know, loving every minute of it. I don't know if that's the right way to introduce the show, but I'm loving every minute of it right now because everybody here, before we introduce the guests, I just got great news, Johnny and Jacob. You know, my house has been on the market for now 42 days. And my realtor just called me while in between recording shows, and we got a good offer on the table. So, woo! Hey, fingers crossed that this is the moment where we can go, oh, we finally are under contract. Because as I was telling Jacob earlier today, if I have to fix one more nick, one more scratch, one more thing in this house, I'm going to go nuts. Because my wife, who is awesome at selling houses, does not stop fixing the house until we have a solid accepted offer on the table. So for 45 days, every day has been home improvement, Johnny.
Oh man, Tim. but the big question looming here, you know, congratulations on all that work and on your move, as you explain more of that to the pencil busters out there. I know they're eager to hear about your new moves, man. But you know, the big question I have is, you know, did you guys bury a statue? Is it a Saint Joseph, like the good Catholics you are? Did you bury that statue to sell the house?
I will admit my mother did.
Hey, well, then it's in the bag, right? Oh, no, but it's great. It's a beautiful Saturday, and we're cheerful. But, Tim, man, it's another week of just a blitzkrieg of, you know, of attacks on education and just more of turning classrooms and schools into battlegrounds for this nasty politics. Yeah. So I hate to, like, turn the page, you know, into that, like, that down part of the story. But we are lucky because we are with some of our favorite folks to talk shop with, who have their thumb on the pulse, right, of Wisconsin education. Maybe it's fingers on the pulse. I don't think you check a pulse with your thumb, but you know, fingers on the pulse of public education in Washington. Tim, introduce our guests.
In Washington, Johnny, come on, Wisconsin. Oh, yeah, you always do it.
It's Wisconsin, yes. Washington. I mean, we're two states holding it down for the country right now. I'll say legislatively, we're, you know, defenders of public education. So no, we're talking Wisconsin public ed today. Yes. So Tim, introduce our guests and let's get into it before I make any more mistakes.
They are back. Our partnership, Wisconsin Public Education Network. Listener, if this is the first time you're hearing of them, find them, look for them, because if you are a defender of democracy and public education and you are not familiar with the Wisconsin Public Education Network, you need to be, because, man, they are always there. They know what's happening. They are advocating in ways that are truly about, you know, our local community public schools and really saying what's best. Well, what's best is our public schools. Welcome back to Busted Pencils, though. Heather and Jenny, I see you got your names up on the name boards there. But Heather, Jenny, Wisconsin Public Education Network. Heather, how are you doing first?
We're doing pretty good. It's finally spring in Wisconsin, so that's exciting for us. Everything is blooming.
Okay. So the ice has gotten off the lakes and the ponds and...
Well, as you can see, I'm still wearing my coat indoors, but other than that, it's very veritably balmy out there.
Nice, nice. Jenny, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, living by the Lake Michigan. It's hard to complain. Summer's about to be here.
Yeah, loving that lake. Yeah, Lake Michigan, too. Just, you know, quick aside, I was on the other side of Lake Michigan last week visiting my son in Michigan in Traverse City. And we were looking across going like, hey, you know, 5 years ago, we used to live on the other side of that lake. And I was thinking, could I swim across? Is it? No. Everybody's shaking their. Jacob, what do you think, man? Do you think I can swim from Michigan to Wisconsin?
Absolutely, Tim.
No,
We should try this.
Try it. You could be the first, Tim.
I'll be in a dinghy next to you with a microphone. We can get the whole thing for the show. I think that is a great idea.
Nice. All right. Well, we'll make that announcement when the time comes.
Send your AI clone across the lake. That should be safer.
Maybe that's what I can do is that. Okay. Well, Heather, Jenny, Wisconsin Public Education, all the news. But first, though, I'm going to hit you guys. When we were getting ready for the show, Heather, you were like, well, did you see? And I was like, huh? I did not see that. But all right. So the let's call it the fun of the new presidential administration of the Trump administration. And your governor, Tony Evers, there's a little bit of a kerfuffle out there where potentially the Trump administration put out some kind of a statement that, you know, well, we might want to arrest Tony Evers, the governor. Heather, help me make sense of this.
Well, there's not a lot of sense to be made of it, I'm afraid to be the one to say. But this isn't about Tony Evers. What it's about is the Trump administration's attempt to strong arm our courts. And so you may have heard about the circuit court judge who was arrested in Milwaukee for protecting a person who was in her courtroom against what my understanding is she thought was an unlawful order for the arrest of this person within the building, and allowed the person to stay in her chambers, and she was subsequently arrested, and the governor defended her in that moment, and so calls for his arrest have then been made. And while it garnered a lot of media attention, I mean, it's a real spectacle. That's another active attempt to distract us from the attacks on democracy that are happening right under our nose, and the suggestion that a sitting court justice who is simply trying to uphold the law in the moment is going to be attacked in this way is like actually terrifying. And so while it is getting a lot of sensational coverage and has, you know, occupied a lot of airwaves, I think those of us who are paying attention to what this could mean to just the way we do justice in this nation should be very, very afraid and paying close attention.
Yeah, you think about that too, and I'm glad you brought that back because it's for sure a spectacle, but it's also a distraction from the bigger kind of pusher, as you said, you know, an attack on democracy, an attack on justice, it's just constant, and you know, bringing that back to and saying, you know, and everything else, it feels like. No, I don't think it feels like it has. It's true is that, you know, defenders of democracy, defenders of public education, defenders for the community. I really feel like that's truly the title now is that it's a defense, a constant defense for those things that really matter. And I see Jenny got a little bit straightened up there. Jenny, riff on that for me a little bit.
Well, Tim, you know, we've been talking public education for a long time together, and it started, you know, maybe 10 years ago or better with ACT. We're going on 15. Now we're aging ourselves. But, you know, like the direct attack on public education kind of has been setting the stage for this demise of democracy, right? I mean, I hate to be too, hyperbolic about it, but the arrest of Judge Hannah Dugan, while the sensationalism has become a distraction and given, you know, red meat to the base, it also is an example of the lengths to which this administration is willing to go. And it's difficult to have conversations right now, even about the state budget process and things about local control with this, you know, shroud hanging over everybody about what the next steps will be. We're trying to talk about the state budget in Wisconsin right now. Everyone wants to ask about the federal budget. You know, this week, the Department of Ed budget dropped, and it was, you know, nothing but red lines for public education, for the nation. And the only increase that was shown in there, the only black text in that entire document was for independent charter schools.
Yeah, I saw that news too. The only increase in the federal Department of Education charter schools. And, you know, the the wording that came from President Trump was, well, it's because our public schools are failing and, you know, we kids just need more choice. And so this is, you know, him just making sure that every student has access to the school of their choice. And, you know, we talked about this pre the election, getting ready for this and saying, you know, does he really mean that he would be coming after, you know, the public schools? And it's like, well, yeah, he means it. I had a conversation last night at a dinner with some teacher educators that I know, and they are just, you know, kind of taken aback by really, they're asking me the question of going, Tim, you were saying that he was really going to do this. We didn't really think he was going to do all this the way it was. I mean, is anybody that you guys come across, and I know we're about coming up on the first break, but Heather, thinking about that, are there people still in disbelief of the attack on public schools?
Well, of course they are. You know, I mean, people love their public schools, and people who haven't really been paying attention or who thought all the hype around Project 2025, for instance, was just a bunch of political melodrama, really didn't think some of this stuff was going to happen. And as the writing reveals itself on the wall, it is sometimes even hard for me to believe, who knew it was coming, you know, what they'll dare say in these moments. But what gives me a little bit of hope or heart in this time is how forcefully our elected officials here in state are responding. Seeing Governor Evers stand up to that kind of unlawful bullying, I think, gives me great hope. Seeing our state superintendent of public instruction say, no, absolutely not. The Wisconsin will not comply with unlawful orders to abolish our commitment to protecting students' rights. You know, I mean, these are some bright lights in a dark time.
Man, let's get to some bright lights when we get back. Wisconsin Public Education Network is here rocking the house. More when we get back. And we're back. Put the pencils. Is that Donnie Lupinacci on the guitar? I don't know, but, you know, it's definitely not me, Dr. Tim Slecker. Maybe it's Jacob, chairman of the boards. Busted Pencils, fully leaded, education talk, educated educators talking education. We've got Heather and Jenny from Wisconsin Public Education Network letting us, you know, kind of figure out what's happening in Wisconsin. In fact, you were talking about the bright lights that you actually have in Wisconsin. I'm just thinking about this, though. So really digging in, Heather and Jenny, you know, from the public education front, I mean, what's WPEN? What are you guys working on? What are you hearing? Help us understand the reality that you two are now living in, what, you know, 100 plus days into this new administration.
Well, Wisconsin's the legislative process over the budget now is just coming to close. They finished up their public hearings in the last couple of weeks. Public education, K-12 through higher ed, was, of course, among the top things people testified about, demanding an investment. And then this is the week now that the Joint Finance Committee will take up their own budget process. As anticipated, they will be tossing out everything that Governor Evers asked for and crafting their own budget. Once again, after people have, you know, turned up and spoke out in support of items in the governor's budget.
Johnny.
Oh, man. I mean, this is tough to hear because, you know, it's been too long, this attack on public education and this continued, you know, legislative, you know, ignoring of the democratic process. So sorry to put you on the spot to share bad news, but folks, this is, you know, what we need to be aware of. This is what's so important is that, you know, here we have, you know, a talk where we're saying, hey, it's so important. We know bipartisan, by and large, that people vote in favor of their public schools. So this shouldn't be like as big of an issue as it is, yet it continues to be, you know, a defunding of our schools and these budget, you know, this austerity environment that we're in around public schools. It should be a no-brainer, folks. And in fact, voters showed us that it was. And as, you know, Jenny shared, like, folks turned out to talk about how important these things were. Heather and Jenny, for our listeners who might not be as familiar, highlight for us some of what are some of those things that, you know, Governor Evers and the, you know, the people spoke in favor of being really important.
Heather, I'll let you take this one because I've got a follow up.
Okay. This was an astonishing budget cycle for us because we saw something that we hadn't really seen before. I mean, we saw public education supporters coming out in droves like they always do. And once again, in our tracking of that testimony, and we tracked every bit of it, over 900 people testified. We saw what they said. Yeah, sent you that graphic. We made a pie chart so we can keep them honest and make sure that the budget they pass aligns with what people wanted. You know, showed that support for public schools, support for childcare, support for higher ed, these things combined made up full 30% of all the testimony they heard. A third of the testimony was about doing what's right by our kids. The next biggest category was healthcare, mm-hmm. right? You know, two things that our Joint Finance Committee has said is going to be on the chopping block tomorrow. But the astonishing thing for us listening this year was just the uniformity of concern around a couple of very specific asks. Usually, you know, you hear people's education concerns, they're all over the board. There are a lot of things to be concerned about. There are a lot of unique needs in districts and for kids. But this year, the number one concern by far was, one, give the schools spendable new aid. We haven't had a budget that's kept pace with inflation in 16 years in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And during that period, as you know, Tim, we also saw the biggest cut to public education that any state has ever seen at once in one swoop. And we not only have not recovered from that, but we've continued to get worse. So closing that gap, that's number one. And then number two was special education funding. I don't know if you knew this, but for among states that reimburse as a percentage, Wisconsin has the lowest reimbursement rate of all the states, 29%. 29% on the dollar. That's how much public schools get the next year for the actual cost they spent the last year. And that's like a $1.6 billion a year gap that districts fill by spending out of their general funds. You know, this is the essential supports that are going unmet in so many districts. It really is terrifying. So that's just been a huge problem. And we're heartened by all the people who are coming out and sharing their stories and you know, sharing these concerns. And we do think that there is some bipartisan support for this issue. But the question is Wisconsin really going to close that gap? Mm-hmm. Because private schools, if you go to school with a special needs voucher, you get the full cost of your voucher. It's like $14,000+. Plus, if you need more on top of that, you get an additional 50%. So 150% of the voucher amount. And then if you need more on top of that, you get a 90% reimbursement. And so that's how much, and that is like a sum sufficient statutory commitment that the state has made to students who attend private schools. Meanwhile, selling our public school kids out on the backs of these, you know, disproportionate investments. So there was a huge call to end that sort of funding discrimination, and hopefully it didn't fall on deaf ears.
I just hearing that one, and I know, Jenny, you want to follow up on this, but I'm just thinking about the way you just pointed that out. I mean, you know, we talk about private school choice and how that undermines public education, but laying out that really specific detail, I think, Heather and Jenny, is one of the ways that maybe, I hate to hear it the way you explained it, but it comes across so unfair when you hear about that. So, you know, I'm I'm a student and I'm a parent, and we decide to put our child in private schools. We take the choice money allocated by the state. And then you're saying if there are special education needs, they get funded above the local public school's ability to take care of that special education. And right there is to say, you're creating an incentive then, if you're a special needs family, to take your child out of the public school. Am I understanding that right, Jenny? I mean, I know we're about 2 minutes before this break, but am I understanding that right?
Yes, and it gets even more insane, doctors, because that private school is not mandated to provide the services.
Right.
The local education entity is. So even if you take the voucher and even if you get the special education reimbursement, that school is not required to provide the services. The local school district needs to send a speech pathologist, an OT, a SPED teacher, and provide the services.
You read my mind, because I was going to ask and point out that, and those private schools are not required to offer those services, and they can deny them. Oh, man, a lot going on. It's Busted Pencils, yeah, you know, fully leaded education talk. Wisconsin Public Education Network in the house, Heather and Jenny. A lot more, though, to talk about. You know, what's happening, public education. Make sure you're following Wisconsin Public Education Network. We got more questions for Heather and Jenny when we get back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Saturday, full 1 hour show. Loving everybody listening, especially today, our favorite guests, Wisconsin Public Education Network's Jenny and Heather are back in the house letting us know everything that's happening in Wisconsin. Jenny, before, though, we got a little bit sidetracked there talking about the special education funding, but there was a point, though, prior to that, that you really wanted to jump in and make regarding the electorate. Help me figure that out.
Sure. Because of our chronic underfunding of the public schools, Wisconsin's had a historic number of referendas over the last few years, hundreds of districts. We have 421 districts, hundreds. Almost everybody's gone to referendum at least in the last 6 years. There's a great passage rate, which means local people are taxing themselves to pay for their public schools as a priority investment. And when we got our new maps last year, electoral maps, we elected a historic number of seats shifted back for the Dems. While it's still a minority party, public education advocates, they have there's a slimmer margin of difference, right? But what we're doing, what the State House is doing now, because the majority party picks who goes on what committees, and how the power is sort of distributed, they still hold the majority of seats in these committees, such as joint finance or education, and they're holding less full body interactions. And so to the public, when they're out doing hearings, it looks like there's a stronger majority of folks representing this push for privatization and underfunding public schools. When reality, if the body met in totality, the Senate and the Assembly, you would see that there's a slimmer margin of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. And it's actually quite dastardly how they are portraying this in the public, because they're giving the sense that they have a stronger majority when right. We know the public is with our public schools and are the moral majority.
Heather, jump in.
Yeah, they also did a super shady thing, which is gerrymander after the fact through committee assignments. So they reduce the number of seats on each of the committees so that it gives the impression that there are fewer Democrats than they are in the body as well. It's confusing.
Johnny, okay, keep going.
But you should see how people are turning out for these hearings. I mean, the number of people who have come out to testify against some of the, you know, anti-equity initiative bills, the anti-trans bills that we've seen, the anti-school referenda bills that we've seen coming before, by the way, which nobody is asking for, which are totally out of alignment with the actual needs of our kids and our schools and our communities, but are yet what we're wasting time talking about at the State House right now, has really been staggering. And these bills have been shut down. You know, so this, the referenda ones were just this week, so I'm not sure what's next for those. But, you know, there was a whole string of kind of sensational bills that were paraded forward, and just people testified till 11 o'clock at night against these things, and it was really powerful.
Johnny.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, we keep saying this. We know that by and large, people support, especially people in Wisconsin, support public schools. And you know, Jenny even mentioned, like, that essentially are paying out of their pockets, right? Like opting to invest as a democracy in public education. So it feels like people know the importance of it. And so what's the next steps? Like, what are y'all forecasting here? What do we do to organize to kind of continue to address these injustices, you know, but move from, you know, the awareness to the action, which is such a stalwart of WPEN. Like, what can folks do?
Well, people are tuning in at a really good time if they're ready to take action on this, because we are at an absolutely critical moment in our legislative process. Now is the time where every single person who we elected to serve in the state legislature has to vote on this budget. And we are closely tracking every single one of those votes. And if they're going to vote against what's best for kids, if they're going to vote against what's best for our public schools, if they're going to reject the communities around the state calling for more resources for healthcare and childcare, then we're going to expose this. And I think people are going to find themselves unelected pretty quickly, given the new landscape that we're dealing with. And I think that the writing really is on the wall as far as where the public's priorities are. And so hopefully we'll see some movement here, but that only happens if people speak up. You got to call the governor and tell him you expect him to veto a budget that doesn't follow the plan he laid out. Call every single lawmaker, whether you think they agree with you or not, and make sure that they're voting in the way that represents the interests of your community. I mean, this is a really, really important time, and our window of influence is pretty small. So the time to speak up is actually literally right now.
Mm. I'm just, yeah, get out there and do that. But I'm Jenny, when you talk about this too, though, the kind of diabolical, you know, kind of vision of not support for public schools, when we know the reality is that, you know, sorry, even just that chart you guys shared with me, and we're going to make sure that that's available too for the podcast, so people can look at that. You know, the fact that those three topics took up that big of the effort of the comments by the public demonstrates loud and clear that in Wisconsin, public schools are incredibly important. That really, when you put them together, they take up the, you know, the majority, when I say majority, but the biggest chunk of that pie chart. But, you know, in Wisconsin isn't unique in the fact, though, that in a legislature, though, that is still Republican controlled, the creation of what would appear to be an anti-public school movement is just something that we keep seeing going forward. You know, we saw it in Texas. I mean, for the longest time, the fight for the public schools to push against a full statewide choice movement in Texas continued to be blocked because the people didn't want it. And the only way that Governor Abbott could get his wishes was to get his own Republicans, who were the ones saying, we love our public schools, get them kicked out and have them replaced by new Republicans that were going to, you know, show that they support choice, which is a manufactured movement of support for choice, not a reality, because the reality is that public schools are the favored position. And, you know, to think about that, and, you know, you listener out there that's hearing this conversation, you are a public school supporter, and maybe you haven't come out. Maybe you haven't had that time. This is why it's so important, is to have this groundswell so that people can't be, you know, when they look at Wisconsin, when they look at your state, when they look at your area and say, well, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of support for public schools. No, no, we need you out there so that we can go up against an attempt to really delegitimize the support that our local public schools have. Jenny, I mean, that's what you were getting at, right?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I mean, I guess I'll say, when we, at the top of the show, you mentioned people getting engaged in it and now they're paying attention and to the current federal situation. And I would still stipulate that the vast majority of people are not paying attention, right? You can go about your day-to-day life right now and sort of deal with a few bucks on a tariff and not really think about what's happening at the federal government. What I will say is that their overreaches have helped us in some of our arguments in the state, because we spend a lot of time talking about things that people will say, that's not possible, that can't be true, you know, like everything they've done for the last 20 years to public schools. So now that they're seeing it on a, you know, on the nightly news, this overstretch, it makes what we've been trying to rally people around seem more believable, right? Like there really is this national movement to privatize schools. And like, look how hard they're going to push for it in Arizona or Texas and Florida. You know, if there isn't a disaster in order to capitalize on and privatize schools like post-Katrina, they'll manufacture one, right? In Michigan, it was the lead in the water. You know, it's like any opportunity to point at public schools as a failure is what they're going to seize on. And what we know when we talk to our neighbors is that they don't think they're failing. And we're definitely, I say this every time, we're not apologists for the things that our public schools aren't getting right, but we are there to advocate for them to be the best that they can be. And we need them to exist in order for those spaces to exist.
Well, we need their existence. And Johnny, you know, you think about this, we come back to this. It's like the assault on public schools is really that assault on, you know, your local ability to participate in democracy, which is really what we're kind of coming back to and saying that, you know, the strength of our local democracies, our state democracies, our national democracies are really connected to how strong the public schools are in those areas, because they have the ability, and not even the ability, but they're required to teach what it means to live in a democracy and what it means to be an engaged civic action citizen. You know, people are like, oh, we don't want activists. I didn't say activists. I said just to be a participant in civic activity. You know, that's our public schools. And I can remember when I first met Diane Ravitch over 15 years ago, and she put out there and saying, like, if anybody doesn't realize that at the core of the attacks on public schools is the realization that that's how you tamp down democracy. And you know, she really put that out there as saying, like, this has nothing to do with all of the test score failures and all of the things, Jenny, you were saying, you know, whatever you want to bring it up as, you know, the blame of public schools. The reality is that if you defund, attack, delegitimize public schools, you can then subvert democracy. And I just remember that conversation from Diane Ravitch. You know, just thinking about this, Heather, you know, what should we, you know, what do we expect the Republicans to do next?
Well, we've got our eyes on all the ways that they've been kind of trying to undermine democratic processes at the state level, at the federal level, at the local level. And the idea that we've been hearing most that's been brewing at the Capitol is a policy that they failed to get through in the past legislative session that would fund the voucher programs entirely through the state general purpose revenue rather than kind of siphoning it through the public schools like they do now, which granted is terrible, but at least it has a mechanism of transparency and accountability. And so kind of divorcing that program from the only Democratic measure of control that we have right now would be like Arizona, Texas, Florida level catastrophic for Wisconsin. And so they're looking at these states that kind of wholesale shove their programs through really fast and saying, we should have done that here. And they see this as kind of a backdoor way to get that sort of, you know, total cash cow expansion they've always wanted. And we're hearing that Republicans are lobbying very hard behind closed doors to kind of give any increase to public education in exchange for this. And, you know, I've been saying there's no bag of beans magic enough to make that trade worth it. Right. That would be the death of public schools in this state, which, as we know, is what they actually want.
So much. 1 minute. Oh, my goodness. It has gone so fast. Hey, everybody, make sure you are following Wisconsin Public Education Network. We'll have a link to their website in the show description. All the podcasts. We'll have that pie chart. And again, if you are, and we know you are because you're listening, supporter of public education, get out there, testify, write a letter, put it out there because, you know, defending your local public school, that's not being an activist, that's being a citizen. And that's what we do here. Busted Pencils, Tim, Johnny, and Jacob, chairman of the board. We'll be breaking it down when we get back. Fully landed education talk, educated educators talking education. Always love having the Wisconsin Public Education Network on, Johnny. I mean, so much to talk about. In fact, you know, as Jenny and Heather were leaving, they were like, oh, we should have said, you know, that this vote is actually occurring tomorrow.
Which is technically 2 days ago for our listeners listening live on Saturday. But yeah, you know, it's happening now. And so you can expect we'll get Heather and Jenny back on to sort of, you know, digest the cuts that are, you know, sadly likely to come and see how, or maybe major supports. Maybe be optimistic about it.
Optimistic and then also realizing that Governor Evers, you know, will hopefully use that power of the veto where it needs to be there. I got a question though for Jacob, chairman of the boards there, you know, so bringing you on here, you know, you're in Wisconsin. Did you know there was a Wisconsin Public Education Network out there?
Tim, I had no idea until I discovered an amazing podcast called Busted Pencils, where, you know, I got exposed to a lot of fully leaded education talk from educated educators talking education. And Tim, that changed my perspective on things. So I have now been acquainted with it.
So what do you think of the information coming out from Heather and Jenny, Jacob?
I'm always interested to hear about the inside baseball going on in Madison. You know, I'm a small-time farmer, Tim, so I don't know what they do in Madison, but the Republicans there always working on their schemes, and I was not surprised in the least to hear that there's some shenanigans going on.
Yeah,
shenanigans.
Truly shenanigans. Well, Johnny, I love, and Jenny's always one to let us know about the shenanigans too.
Yeah, I love it because, I mean, I said it before, you know, and I probably butchered the quote. I'll try and get it better this time. You know, they have their finger on the pulse of Wisconsin public education, and that's important because it's frontline stuff, right? I mean, and that's what it is. Timmy said, like, hey, you know, you don't need to be an activist to speak out. And I would say, like, you don't need to be an activist of extreme politics or one-sided politics, but you're a defender of democracy.
Right.
When you speak truth to power, and that power being, you know, the defunding of our public schools. And we're going to get in the, the description of the podcast. So if you're listening to this as a broadcast, you know, give it a little bit of time, and then, you know, go on the Civic Media website and you can get a look at that pie chart, or you can go to WPEN.org, Wisconsin Public Education Network.org, right? And you can see this infograph they have, Tim. And, you know, looking at that infograph, that pie chart, where they, you know, really visually show the support that people are, you know, bringing to testify, you know, to urge legislation, to do their democratic civic duty, which, you know, we said isn't activism, it's citizenship, but, you know, it's defenders of democracy. That's us. You know, we have a listener, L.A. Tom, who always, you know, calls in and says, you know, we the people are the government, right? Yeah. And that is still true, although it doesn't feel like it. And, you know, Jenny said today on the show, by and large, a vast majority of folks can go throughout their day and maybe be impacted by, you know, increases from tariffs. And they can sort of ride this out. Meanwhile, we are gutting democracy, not we, Tim, you and I, or Jenny, or, you know, Heather, or certainly not Jacob and his small time farm in there.
Definitely
as chairman of the board. But in large, you know, like if we are complacent with, you know, the usurping of our democracy, you know, then we are guilty. And so as democratic citizens, it's our duty. And back to that infograph, Tim, one of the things we've talked about on here, you know, we've had AFT President Randy Weingarten on talking about, you know, teaching, but also the organizing and the growth for, labor in the care profession in this country. You know, we are at the largest level of support since the heyday, since the 60s, right, for, union support. But the AFT, why I bring them up is they're, you know, the I think, second largest labor organization for nurses. And
right.
And looking at the Public Education Network, Tim, we've been saying it, there are many important facets of democracy, but there are two that I'd like to really bring together and highlight. And I see it in this graph out of the concern for people in Wisconsin coming to testify, is that public education and healthcare,
right?
Our medical system, our healthcare, are almost a majority of those testimonies concerns.
Right.
And that maps, that tracks right now. Here we say two of the important bedrocks of democracy are health and, you know, and what we know upstairs, and I'm pointing on the YouTube folks to my brain, you know, like our bodies and our minds in a democracy are two of the most important things that we have in our community. So the strength of our community in health and in knowledge are so important, right? And that's what the people in Wisconsin, you know, showing up to these budget hearings to say, hey, please remember, these are two very, very important things to the taxpaying citizens of this state. So I like seeing that. Again, I'm referencing that pie chart that we'll make sure you have access to, or just go to WPEN.org. That's the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Like I said, Jenny and Heather, two very informed, active citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Who I mean they say it well. I mean, they say it well. It says nonpartisan. This isn't about, you know, we know that local districts across the state, whether they've been categorized as red or blue, have voted in strong favor of public schools. So our legislation should be representing that differently. So listeners, if you can, man, do what they asked us to and give your legislator a call. Get these decision makers your peace of mind. Say, hey, we support our public schools. And, you know, we expect that the budget should also.
Yeah. And remember, that's not being an activist. That's being a citizen. And being a citizen is nonpartisan. And now it's time for your moment of zen. History can untie our minds, our bodies, our disposition to move, to engage life rather than contemplating it as an outsider. It can do this by widening our view to include the silent voices of the past so that we look behind the silence of the present.
B Big thank yous to our listeners today for joining us at the Busted Pencils broadcast with special guests from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, Heather and Jenny. And if you want to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts, just go to Apple, Spotify, or you can always get at us at civicmedia.com. Or that's right, visit us at our website, bustedpencils.com. Thanks for listening today, and keep busted pencils.